Welcome to Lost and Starting Over with Linda Ballesteros. Death, sickness, unemployment, sadness, depression, divorce. Do you feel like you're alone in any of this? Well, you're not. Together we can find the way out. Get ready for Lost and Starting Over, a show on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Linda Ballesteros.
Hey folks, welcome to Loss and Starting Over. I'm your host today, Linda Ballesteros. Thanks so much for joining me. You know, I always say that time is that one commodity that you can't get back. So when someone spends time with you, be grateful. Honor their time. Make sure they know how much you appreciate them spending time with you, because they can't get that 1 hour back that you're spending with them or that they spend with you. So today's show is all about messages from the other side. And my guest today is Elizabeth Harbin, and she is a former banker who took some time off and took some metaphysical classes. And she'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show. She has many achievements, including she's an ordained minister, she's a Reiki master, certified hypnosis practitioner, Huna's student and teacher, timeline therapy associate, and she's certified in radical forgiveness. In 2006, she founded Metaphysical Allies and is a full-time professional card reader as well as an intuitive medium. Help me welcome Elizabeth Harbin. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Linda. I'm so glad to be here.
Absolutely. You know, Elizabeth, we've talked about loss and we talk about starting over. And I know that there are so many times where a person can't really move on from the loss. And maybe they didn't have closure with the person, especially in the case of death. Tell me first, before we get started on answering some of those questions, I've kind of piqued the listeners' curiosity there, but tell me a little bit about how you got started in this. Why did you become so interested in this?
Well, I've actually been interested. I've been interested in a lot of things. So the first thing that I really got interested in was astrology, then came numerology, and that's when I was in my teen period. And then, you know, life takes over. You've got to get a job. I immediately went into banking, 19. I was in banking. And I stayed there for 20-something years. And it wasn't until I was in my 40s that I realized that there was something calling me that I needed to do. So, fortunately, I met my mentor, Samantha Lawrence. I was going to her quite often to get card readings, and the situation became very obvious that I could read her cards upside down. And so she started to nudge me a little bit and said, I think you need to learn how to do this. And the first class that I ever took that was really to alter my thinking or get me into a different direction was timeline therapy. And it changed everything. It opened up doors. It got me in the right direction. I was able to get rid of anchors or issues that were blockages that were keeping me from going forward. But after that, she took me under her wing, and I had to go and audition for Eclipse Entertainment. And then we would both go to different hotels. We were really big in the corporate world. We were doing a lot of major productions from the American Heart Association to corporate banquets to you name it. We were doing all kinds of things. And we worked just about every major hotel in Dallas. We've actually been over to Fort Worth to the Water Garden and worked there. So we've had the opportunity to go around for years. And then we also had our own personal private practice.
And so then, Elizabeth, when you tell me, let me just jump in real quick for the person out there that really doesn't know exactly, you know, maybe this is new to them. When you say you worked those facilities or the hotels or the water garden, what do you mean?
Well, in our case, she could read cards, but she was also really good as being a palmist. I was not so good at being a palmist, but I was really good at reading cards. And what happened would be that she would say, okay, now I've got a card reader and I'm a really good palmist, and let us do those gigs and those kinds of things. She was also, mm-hmm. you know, fabulous at the card readings, but I was really more comfortable with reading the cards for people. But what I discovered
mm-hmm.
in reading those was it was great practice, because you had to make decisions within 10 minutes. You're having to give this person information in a positive way, but you also were catching clues and hints of things that were also affecting them as well.
So when you talk about getting those messages, and let's kind of go back to, you know, the show is about loss and starting over. What mm-hmm. types of clients would you have that would sit across the table from you and they would be dealing with a loss, again, whether it is the death of a loved one or possibly the loss of a job or the loss of a marriage? How did you help them through that? Because it's clear that this is a method that can help people heal.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It is a great tool to assist people in trying to get them. Now, remember, they are doing the work. They are literally having to live in that moment, those issues, and they're trying to deal with everyday work. What I was getting mostly at that time were people who had lost their husbands or their wives through divorce, or they'd lost their boyfriend, or at one point in time, especially in the 90s, it was job loss. There were a ton of people going through that. I never will forget the one time that I worked, I think it was the Omni Hotel, and I remember reading for these people, and I kept seeing these people were just, there was just so much death around these people, I just could not understand what was happening. So we were talking about them getting better and let's work on things and whatever, and come to find out what had happened was this was a group that had originally been scheduled around 9/11, and so every member of this group that had come in, they lost people. They lost mm-hmm. friends, 10, 15, 20 people, and the grief was overwhelming. The loss was just, it was just unbearable. But what I discovered in that was that there was a major need in people to have closure, and that's what they were trying to find, was some sort of closure. What did I do to create this, or how did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? I've lost my best friend. I've lost 10 of my best friends. How can this be? Mm. How will I ever go on? And although it was brief, and granted, I can't accommodate what they're actually wanting in just one 10-minute read, but what I did try to give to them was a sense, first of all, it's not their fault. And you have to remember, this is not your fault. You could not have saved them. Millions of people could not have saved these individuals. This was a situation. And it finally, you could see in some of them that they were stuck, and they just like, I see now, I'm stuck, and I need to get over this and go on and go forward. So we encouraged a lot of these people to get involved in the newness of what was going to take place in the production, creation, development of anything that was pertaining to 9/11 in a positive way. Give your energy, do things, bless the space, stay positive, be around positive people, get away from downtown as much as you can, take vacations out of the city to recharge and then come back and bring in the fresh new energy. So that was really a major eye-opening for me as far as trying to assist people with loss and grief. But I'm telling you right now, that was, you know, the universe has a tendency to, if it really wants to show me something, it shows it to me in just a huge situation. And that got my attention real quick. But it
was
the best.
Well, there were so many people lost in 9/11 that, and there were so many unanswered questions, and there were so many husbands that kissed their wife goodbye, went to work, mm-hmm. and never came back, whether they were firemen or whether they worked in the building. And so just giving them that little glimpse of it's not your fault, just that little thing mm-hmm. helped them to move on. Now, when you're sitting with a client for a full session and they come to you with this, again, this overwhelming feeling of loss, where do you begin? Is it something that you walk them through, or is it messages that you get from their loved one who has passed? How do you get them through that period?
Well, usually as a rule, when they walk in and they walk through that office door, whatever is connected to them on some basis walks in with them. And sometimes what happens is the individual that they're having an issue with, that energy will come in first. And usually as a rule, when they sit down, I try to explain to them, okay, we're going to see if we can get in touch with, or let's see what's happening with you through the cards. And, okay, there's a female here or a male here or whatever. And then say, we're going to put them to the side. If they have a message they want to give to you, we'll see if they want to talk, and we'll let them, you know, we'll allow that to happen at a later time. So I just kind of get them into the mode of, okay, now let's let the cards work their magic. Because if you hit them right off the bat with so-and-so's here, it can startle them so bad that they're not going to listen to you. It's just, mm-hmm. there's somebody here. Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? So you want to get them comfortable, but you want them to trust you. You want them to know that this is what I'm hearing. And if this is not right, then you tell me this is not right. But one of the things that I have learned is it really is okay to ask questions. You're not breaking a trust, but there are some times, well, they will show you something from the other side, and it's like, I have no idea what this means. Can you tell me what this means? And they'll say, oh, my gosh, that was blah, 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 blah. One of the clients that I worked with, all of a sudden I saw tomatoes. Now, that's just not something I normally see. But it was like, okay, I'm seeing tomatoes, and I'm not sure about this. And my client said, oh, my father, he grew tomatoes. Okay, well, mm-hmm. now we're on the right track. Now we've got a connection here. And as soon as you bring in a situation or an idea, then they can open up. Now, remember, you're going to get a better read the more you're open. If you come in to see me and you've got this energy and it's blocked, then it's going to be a real long session because you're having to break down this wall, break down this barrier. And remember, now, that barrier that is around them, that's what everybody else is seeing. So when you're around someone, and you go, oh, did you feel that energy? It was just, oh, my God, it was so oppressive. Did you get that? Well, people mm-hmm. can pick up on those things. So you think you come in to make your first impression. Let me tell you, the first thing that shows up is your energy. That's what shows mm-hmm. up first. So mm-hmm. if you're going to a job and you didn't get it and you don't understand why and you just lost a family member, let's talk about it. That's mm-hmm. what came in first, that sadness, that grief. You and I have discussed this many times, that energy can stay until you decide to let that go. It'll stay with you. And sometimes I can pick up on two relations past, well, why would I do that? Well, that's because you're still holding on to that energy. Mm-hmm. So we're all connected. There's no doubt about it. We know scientifically that your heart knows everything before it actually takes the event to its heart. It knows things before your brain does. It's fascinating that when we see something we can't stand, we close our eyes, but our heart still feels it. Our heart mm-hmm. knows there's something wrong. And that's why we get so emotional, because our heart is going, oh, that is so sad. But then when we feel something really joyous, it's, oh, it's so good. So mm-hmm. that heart energy, it needs to be fed. It needs to be given love. It needs to be taken care of. And the time right now is for all of us to start coming together and stop being separate. But then we need to be mindful of meditation. And the other thing that I find very interesting, and I'm guilty of this myself, is that people who have these issues, they're getting signs from people from the other side, but they don't believe they're good enough, worthy enough, deserve this information, because why would somebody be able to get in touch with them? Well, you have to break that barrier down. So when someone comes to see me, let's say for an hour, we take our time. We don't rush through things. We go over as many things as possible because I want them to know I'm on their side. And the other thing is I want them to know that I'm not doing this just for the money. I'm doing this because I truly want to help that part of them, that piece that's missing. I want them to feel like there's an answer to that. I can't
make
these
people. Elizabeth, when you have someone come in and you say that you want to help them, in what way, other than saying to them, you know, your loved one is here and they have this message, what are some of the other things? Do you give them exercises to do, or do you give them like homework to do when they leave so that they continue?
Yeah.
What are some of those things that you suggest that they do to continue this healing?
Well, usually as a rule, what they will do, the person from the other side will tell me, okay, get them to look for this. Get them to watch out for these things. Have them look at this. And usually as a rule, I will tell them, okay, this is what I'm hearing. So this is your homework, and you have to keep doing this so that you can practice this so that you will be better able to recognize their signs. And usually as a rule, the common ones are this. Watch for cardinals. Because cardinals are connected with people from the other side. A lot of people see those cardinals, that's their mom or their dad, but it's a red bird. The other thing is if you see a feather in front of you, that's usually a sign they've been there. They're trying to tell you the way is clear. You don't always have to pick the feather up, but I would pick up the first three because that way you can bring them into your home, and every time you see that feather, you know, my loved one is watching over me. They are literally trying to show me they're watching over me. The other one is coins. They have a tendency to either do quarters, nickels, dimes. Sometimes it's pennies. There for a while, excuse me, I was just finding all new pennies. Everywhere I went, there was a new penny. And my grandfather just passed away. And it was like he was pennying me to death is what he was doing. And his comment would have been, and don't spend it all in one place. And I can just hear him say these things. So they have homework. They have work to do. But what can happen, the more the person that's passed is evolved on the other side, and you and I both know this to be fact, the more the experience that they had on Earth to get ready to cross over, once they cross over, and in some cases, they are already touching the energy of God. We know that because they have that color, that golden color, that color of the God energy, Christ energy, whatever you want to call it, the universal energy, whatever it is. It's your belief system. Once you have things happen, then start watching for the electrical things to get kind of weird. Your phone will make a really interesting sound. Well, I've never heard that sound before. Or the TV will go off, or the lights will come off and on, or things will blink. But start watching for synchronicities because they're also trying to help you meet the other people. They're trying to let you know, I'm okay. I'm not sick anymore. I want you to go forward. I want you to be happy. But the main component, and this is for the majority of the people, the main component people want to know is, did I do enough? Did I help them enough? Was I a good husband? Was I a good wife? That was my grandmother. Did she know I loved her? We're gonna stop on that because I'm gonna get tears here because it's so personal. Their connections are so personal. Mm-hmm. But you can experience someone. Go ahead.
What I was going to say is that there are people that some of those things happen to, and should they be afraid? Are they? Because if all of a sudden things start happening and they're unexplained, how would they communicate with their loved one? Like, hey, you're scaring me. This ain't cool. You know, how do they do that?
Well, usually as a rule, I get a phone call, and they say, okay, now look, this is happening. I don't know what it is. Well, it's time to schedule an appointment. And then we go over what's been happening. I think it's the greatest thing in the world. And they're looking at me like, oh, you have lost your mind. You don't live in this house. I'm going, oh, this is fabulous. I think this is great, because they're trying so hard to get your attention. But once you have a situation, and myself included, I had to tell the people on the other side, okay, now look, my hours are 10 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. Do not wake me up to let me know that you can wake me up. I don't need that now. That's over. We're done with that. This is my on time, and this is my off time. And you have to let them know, because time seems to be an illusion for them. What seems like years to us is only mere seconds to them. They are, let's say, excuse me, so excited in the fact that you started to hear them that they will want to, excuse me, do it over and over and over, because it's like, I'm here. You see me. I'm here. Oh, my gosh. So they want to play, too, and they want to play with you as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Elizabeth, but you have to tell them. Let's take a real quick commercial break. When we come back, I'd love for you to be able to share a situation, a real situation where you helped someone and they were able to get through the loss of a loved one by working with you and getting some closure. So let's take a real quick commercial break, and we'll come right back with more from Elizabeth Harbin.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
Hey, folks, welcome back. This is Linda Ballesteros. You're listening to Lawson Starting Over, and we have Elizabeth Harbin with us today. And she is a professional card reader as well as an intuitive medium who is helping people to accept, embrace, get through a loss, and accept it through closure. So, Elizabeth, before we went to break, I ask, is there a real situation that you have worked with someone who was struggling with the loss and you were able to walk them through the closure that you can share with us?
Well, there's one that comes to mind. There's several, but I really can't, reveal too much. But this one I can talk about. I'm not going to mention any names, but there was a person that I met at, was working a private party. And this lady comes in, and sure enough, this female showed up, and I could just feel the mischief coming from this individual, and it was just the best energy ever. And so I told this particular lady, I said, well, there's a female here, and all I can tell you is margaritas. And she just broke down. And she said, oh, my God, that is so-and-so and such and such. And I said, well, this lady's trying to get in touch with you and you're not listening. And she said, I know, I can't deal with it. I can't deal with it. And I said, well, let's do this. I'm going to tell you a couple of things that she's telling me, and let's see if you can do some of them. And we went through, okay, she's telling me, okay, she cusses a lot. I mean, she's very colorful in her languaging, and she's telling me to tell you that you have to get up off your, let's say, butt, and you need to be outside more, you need to do more things. And the thing of it is that if you do not, then she will just keep coming at you, and she will just pick at you until you start doing some things. And then her question was, oh, my God, did I do enough for her? And I said, well, she's telling me thank you. Just thank you for everything that you did. And this lady, I mean, what a friend. This person that passed had cancer. It was ugly. It was very time-consuming. It was a long, drawn-out deal. And it took a lot of this person that's on earth, her energy. It took so much of her energy to help and assist this person. And one of the things that I told her is, okay, now this and this and this is what she's asking you to do. And she said, okay, I'm going to try that. So I saw her again, and I said, okay, she's telling me you've done a really good job. And she just grinned from ear to ear, and you could just tell, oh, my gosh, I've got approval. I've got this approval from her. I'm doing something right. And usually as a rule, it's just they need to know that they did a good job, that they were a good person, that their friend believed in them, that they trusted them. That's basically what people want. That's their closure. And a lot of times they don't need to continue on with me. They just need to do what we were talking, because as soon as they do, then they realize, you know, I can do this too. I can talk to this individual. A lot of people tell me, well, tell her to set a glass of wine out for me. And so I say, okay, she's telling me that you need to set a glass of wine out. Anytime you have a holiday, do not forget this individual. And they go, I promise you I won't. I said, don't tell me, tell them. Promise them you won't forget. So you have those kind of situations. But there are people who refuse to do this, have no interest in communicating with the other side, don't want to talk to these people. They're dead. They're gone. That's it. I'm done. And you just say, then you know what? That's your choice, and I have to respect your decision. However, if you want to change your mind and get in touch with some of these people, let me know. If I can communicate with them, I would be glad to. So you have those people who go, oh no, that's against my beliefs, that's against my religion. It's like, okay, that's fine. You don't have to do this. But then what we can do is we can go under the guise of hypnosis, and that's where hypnosis comes into play, because sometimes it's just a block. I just don't know why I can't talk to them. Well, maybe there's a reason that's in the unconscious that's keeping you from doing this. And so we go through that system. Say, okay, let's try hypnosis. Let's see if you can get comfortable with this. In some cases, that barrier is so strong that it's like, you know, I don't think right now is the time to do it. And sometimes we'll put it off. And it could be years. And then come back and go, okay, you know what? I'm ready. That's fine. That's great. You're in the perfect position, because you want them to be in that perfect place so that this information comes to them easily, clearly, freely, and they're open. If they're
closed off.
So
you're talking about hypnosis now, Elizabeth. Let me just ask you this. We were talking about speaking to the spirits that have crossed, but now hypnosis is much more than that. If someone has lost a job, or if their marriage has ended and they're struggling with that, is that something that hypnosis can help with as well?
Oh, absolutely. Because what you're trying to do is to get them to realize that they can go on. And sometimes what happens is it's a pattern. especially people who keep having the same relationships over and over and over, they end the same way. Then obviously there is a pattern unconsciously. You're behaving in a way that's going to create that same scenario every time you have a relationship. And now's the time to stop it. We need to stop that now. And sometimes the idea of losing the job, okay, they build up their job. It's a fantastic job. They get to a certain point, and, oh, my gosh, what do? Self-sabotage. They either get fired, the company disintegrates, they no longer have a position. They just, you know, something has come through. Oh, we're going to do this in an automated system and not with you. Excuse me. So that's a loss. And so you can't just sit there and say, let's just talk this through from somebody from the other side. You literally have to say, okay, now if you're ready for change, and it is true, you change your mind, you change your life. Because you can change your mind that says, I don't want any of this happiness. You can change your mind into that. But you can also change your mind and say, you know what, I have the best job ever. I have the best people around me. I have the best support system. I have friends who would take care of me if I were sick. I got this, blah, 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 blah. And you start living that life, and you will see all of these wonderful things start coming in. And hypnosis is a great way to talk to that unconscious and say, you know, maybe there's a different thought here. Maybe there really is a different thought. Maybe we need to not attract those kinds of people. Maybe we need to really think about our job and career, especially right now with the energy that's coming in. There are a lot of people who are asking me to help them with reconnecting to their gifts and reconnecting to their spirit, reconnecting to their higher self. And what we do is meditation. We do hypnosis. And we say, okay, now we're going to be talking to our higher self. What does your higher self say that you're really interested in? Now, remember, when I started this trip, I was into astrology. I was into numerology. It eventually went to the card reading, which eventually went to timeline. That went to ordained minister. And on and on and on. There wasn't just one particular route for me to take. And, of course, now working with people from a hypnosis standpoint, that's to help the other people who they're not coming to me to talk to dead people or the other side. They're trying to figure out what can I do that will change my life in such a way that I could choose happiness over divorce, that I could choose happiness over job loss. Sometimes it's illnesses. You know, people, usually as a rule, if you have something that's happening in your life, the first thing you really want to do after you get your diagnosis is to come back and say, okay, now there is something in me that's creating this, and what's going on here. Louise Hay, her book, You Can Heal Yourself, is one of the best books I have ever seen in my life, because she goes to the symptom and she says, okay, there's a blockage here, you're doing this, you're feeling this, and it gives you a guide on what you can do to work on. But you can be having an issue that stems back from being 5 years old and a relative said something to you and it stuck. It stuck so intently that you keep bringing it with you everywhere you go. And I'll give you an example of this. When I was really young, I had an imaginary friend named Mickey. And I made my relative set a place for Mickey every time we sat down at the dinner table because I wanted to make sure that Mickey could get his food. So this lasted for a couple of years. And most of the relatives around me knew this. And they accommodated this behavior. But one day my grandfather looked at me and he said, now you know that this is make-believe. You know this is not real. And at that moment, Mickey disappeared. Mickey left. And I just pretty much shut all that stuff down. You know, I'd had two interventions from him. I mean, twice he saved my life. And so it was like, okay, that was it. And then when I was in my 40s, I was living in Houston at the time, and I had gone to this place, and this really nice lady said, would you like, like a past life regression, or let me give you some info? Oh, this is fabulous, yes. And she put her hand on my heart chakra and said, well, do you want to know who Mickey is? And I thought, I'm going to come up off this table. I can just feel it. And I said, yes, please. And she said, well, Mickey was really the Archangel Michael.
Wow.
And it all started to kind of, oh, wow, that this was real. This was not just in my mind. But my point is this. You can have an individual who is trying to give you information that they think is of value, but what's happening is it is actually stopping you from what you're doing. And I have to believe that at that point in time, it was just time for me to stop, and I just needed that part of my life closed for that point in time. But when it did open, I was in my 40s, and the doors just blew open. It's like, okay, now it's time for you to be a part of this group, and it's now time for this. And without really working at it, I was just led in those directions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But timeline, that's where you go when you try and get rid of, well, it's not try, you do. You get rid of issues from what people have said to you. That's one of the first things that I cleared were issues pertaining to what someone had said to me that stopped me from my pathway, different, being open, more open to things, believing that I'm worthy of stuff. And, of course, now what's happening is that veil is getting a lot thinner, and I'm now working rather diligently on being able to talk to people from the other side. One of the things I really want to do is to help servicemen and women get closure, because mm-hmm. they weren't there. They kissed them goodbye and that was it. Or they talked mm-hmm. to them on Facebook or FaceChat or whatever, and then they're gone. And there is no closure. And I understand not having that. My stepdad was killed in a train wreck. There was no open casket. There was no closure. So I understand that not being able to say goodbye, or not being able to see because I'm very visual, or not being able to say, okay, now I realize this person is no longer here. But at the time, it didn't make sense to me. It's like, this can't be real. I can't see it. So how can this be real? And a lot mm-hmm. of people feel the same way. And I would like for them to have that option, to have closure, to say, okay, this is what I'm getting. And now remember, sometimes there is no one to talk to. There's just nothing there. They've either manifested themselves into a higher being, gone to different places, or in my opinion, a lot of this is that they've just gone on. It was time for them to go. They weren't here to hang around. It's time for them to leave. Highly evolved people have a tendency to hang around for several years, and then usually as a rule, they go on because you no longer need them. Your interests are in other places, and it's time for them to go and evolve as well. And they see that you're evolved. It doesn't mean they don't ever come back and watch over you or see your progression and those kinds of things, but they do go on.
Well, let me ask you this, Elizabeth. In mm-hmm. light of the fact that you said that you're wanting to help those who had service members, had soldiers that they were in relationships with, and that person was killed maybe in Afghanistan or mm-hmm. or on maneuvers or whatever.
Right.
If there's somebody listening and they're thinking, I need that, how would they get in touch with you? How would they find more about Elizabeth Harbin, and how would they get in touch with you to see if you could help them, even by phone? Is that correct? You can do this by phone?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. The best way to get in touch with me without having to go through a lot of wait time, because I am really kind of busy, and sometimes I just don't get to the emails as quickly. I mean, it can be days. It's not intentional. It's just there's other things going on. And I always say, if it's something that you really are interested in, you have to be serious about it. This is not a test of what can I do. This, you have to be serious about this. And the best way to get in touch with me is by text. I know that sounds simple, but I need to know. You need to tell me who you are, the situation, and your phone number. And then I can text you back. So you would text me at 214-454-0072. And then there's a system that I use called Zoom.us. It is a way that I can see you and hear you, and you can see me and hear me. I'm working on being able to record these things so that I can send that to the client. There are no guarantees at this point because, like I said, some have already gone on. They've already evolved. But when I can really have someone who's open and willing to connect, then I would be more than happy to help them out.
And if they're wanting to know a little bit more about you, do you have a website or a Facebook page that they could visit?
Right. I have a Facebook. Well, I have a website, but I also have a Facebook page. And I have two Facebook pages. And the best, well, my personal Facebook page is E. Harbin Card Reader on Facebook. And my business is metaphysicalallies.com. And all you have to do is just type that in.
And then both of those are Facebook pages.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I have a website that's, I'm going to have to, I'm changing a little bit of that, so I'd rather you not go to that one. It's just quicker to get more information from the Facebook pages. Then it's really quickly to get in touch with me. But you have to text me and tell me who you are, because sometimes I get text messages and I don't know who you are, and I'm going to treat you as a robocall. Now, seriously, I will treat you as a robocall. If you call me and you need to leave a message, tell me who you are, tell me what the situation is, and then I can get back in touch with you. But there are so many robocalls out today from so many places that I have to just disregard something. And if there's no name attached, then I don't know you. If you don't tell me who you are, I will not call you back.
So what is the phone number one more time?
It's 214-454-0072.
Okay.
Very good. Usually, as a rule, if you just go to Elizabeth Harbin, it's going to show you where I've got the CHT, RM is attached, and that certified hypnosis practitioner, therapist, and Reiki master, RM.
Okay.
And what you
Very
see
good.
My name with those initials, or Elizabeth Harbin with those initials, that's also my Facebook page. It'll take you right to it.
Great. Well, we're down to final questions. So these questions are the ones that I ask all of my guests, and it's amazing the different answers that we get. So the first question is, what one thing has helped you the most when either you were dealing with loss or in this situation where you were helping others to deal with loss? So what is the one thing that has helped you the most in that?
My belief system.
Mm-hmm.
My belief system says I will come out of this. I may have a long road to go, but I will come out of this, and I am a survivor. So it's my belief system. It may look dark.
Right.
But
one of the things that I've said on the show, you know, many times is that as just like you, my belief system is the one that has kept me moving forward, knowing that even though my husband Mario passed away, that I am still alive, and I'm alive for a reason, so I have to move forward, and the situation is that I move forward without him, and that's not our choice. It's certainly not what my vision board looked like, but it is what it, you know, it is the situation. But belief has a lot to do with that. So my next question here is how can a friend or a family help member help someone who is struggling with loss? Is there something they can do or is there something they shouldn't do to help them as they struggle with loss?
Well, let me tell you, the first thing you do not do is you do not shame that person. You do not say anything along the lines of, well, just get over it. You know, don't do that. You don't know what that person's going through. You have no clue. I mean, seriously, unless you have walked in that person's shoes, you have no idea. What I would suggest to most people is to simply be there. All you have to do is be there. Sometimes that's all people need to know is that you're there. Sometimes you don't need to be asking a bunch of questions. Sometimes you don't need to say, well, let's get this fixed, because there really is nothing to fix. It's just where it is. But if you can just let them know without threatening, you know, I'm here, I'm available. When you're ready to do something, you let me know. There's a friend that I have that can talk you through some of this stuff. Send them to me. Come with them. Don't let them come by themselves. Come with them. We can certainly do something along those lines. But the main thing is do not say to that person, well, just get over it. You know, you've been there long enough. It's time for you to stop this. You know, grow up. Get a life. Get out. That's not what you do. You just let them know that you're there. And sometimes you just have to let them do their grief. And let me tell you this. There is nothing in any book that says your grief is going to last from the day that happened, 30 days from that time it's over. That's just ridiculous. Your grief time is your grief time. And don't let anybody else tell you differently. You have to heal as fast as you can do it yourself.
And it all looks different as well, don't you think, Elizabeth, that one person's grieving looks so very different than the other?
Yeah, and grieving is just being out of balance. It's not being in control. A lot of people who are real control people have a lot. When they have grief, it is severe. And some people who have put so much of their energy into another person and not kept it in balance, they have a lot of issues because they've lost the person that was telling them to do everything. They've lost that person that that person created their life. And what do I do now? And a lot of people get lost. They're what do I do now? So you have to treat people, especially your friends. Each one's unique, each one has a different gift, and you just treat them as individuals and just don't berate them with, oh, you should do that, and don't shit on people either.
Exactly. Okay, so the final question is, since loss is something that we're all going to experience, whether we like it or not, is there anything that we can do to better equip ourselves to handle future loss?
Well, that would be depending upon the loss. I would say be mentally prepared for growth when it comes to jobs, because sometimes the universe will just get you out of a job because it's time for you to go into some other business. So on those, I would have to say just get yourself in a mindset that says, I know the universe is doing something with this. I'm going to be open. They're going to show me what I need to do and be prepared. If it's a relationship loss, you really have to see if there's a pattern. Is this a behavior? Am I constantly doing this? So you need to be prepared. Look at your relationships now. Don't wait until you have the event and then go, oh, duh, look what's happened to me for the fifth time. You want to make sure that you're prepared. The other for grief, for a loss of a loved one, well, it depends on whether it's death or, you know, there's a lot of grief that happens with best friends. When that best friend of yours goes off and gets married, that changes your whole life. When your best bud, y'all were going drinking on Wednesday nights, you know, and the guys, you know, just hanging out together, they get married, well, that leaves you out. That's grief. because it's not the same. That energy is totally different. You're not considered on the same level. It's different. So that's a grief. But when it comes to loss and there's a person that you've lost, what I would hope is that you could look at it for what it is. It is a growth. But know that there are people that can help you. And sometimes you just need to know that you don't have to do it alone, that you have other people that will gladly assist you in problems. People will take you under their wings and they will give you good advice. Sometimes it's really good to go to a therapist. Sometimes it's good to talk to a psychiatrist. I mean, there's so many tools out there. There's so many different people that are willing to help you. And remember, you don't necessarily have to get on drugs to make this work. I would prefer people not to do the drug thing, if at all possible. Get into a different routine. Talk to someone on a weekly basis. If you need to go twice a week, do twice a week. But now's the time to look at your situation and kind of say, what would I do if that person died? You need to think of those things. I mean, don't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Get those.
You know, I saw something
ready.
I saw something on Facebook today, and it says, and loss is all part of change. You mentioned that
right.
earlier, that it's all about change. And
mm-hmm.
it says, change is hard at first, it's messy in the middle, and it's gorgeous at the end.
Yeah.
So,
it's
you
ugly.
Know, it can be. It truly
mm-hmm.
can be. And I, you know, I'm not here to judge anybody else's process or journey. I'm just saying that, you know, there are people out there like yourself, Elizabeth, that can help to provide some hope. And sometimes that's all we need to do, is to just grab hold of a little bit of hope to get through today. And then tomorrow it'll be a little bit better. So, Elizabeth, one more time, what is your phone number, just in case someone wants to get in touch with you to find out more about how you might be able to help them?
Sure. It's 214-454-0072.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being on today's show, because you've showed a different perspective of loss and the grief and how we might be able to use other techniques, other tools
mm-hmm.
to get through this, because we all need help. And just like you said before, it at least lets us know that we're not alone. And that's what happens so many times.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't reach out, then we feel that we're alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I cannot thank you enough for having me on the show. And I do want to mention one other thing, that since we're talking about loss, don't forget the animals. Don't forget that you are attached to the animal kingdom. And when you lose a child, that's a baby as far as I'm concerned. In a reading, they show up as children. And if you have an animal that you are connected to and they pass, don't hold on to that grief. Do what you need to do with that information. But if you need to talk to someone about that, please do, because that is just as powerful a grief as losing a child. And don't just say it's just an animal, because I'm telling you, they are not just animals. These are little furry people is what they are. And if you have something like that, go and seek counseling, because that's devastating.
That's a great point as well, because there are many out there that maybe their fur baby, as they call them many times, is all
mm-hmm.
they have. That's the comfort. And those animals, they have spirits. You know, they
right.
have a spirit. And we connect with that spirit. And that's what kind of helps us through some of the really difficult times. And not to have that best friend there is, it makes a big difference. So it leaves that void in your life. So just like Elizabeth says, if you find yourself and you've recently lost your fur baby, your best friend, then, you know, reach out. Give Elizabeth a call. Reach out to someone else. Talk about it so that you can process through this. Again, Elizabeth, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
folks, I really hope that you walk away today after listening to today's show knowing that you have options out there. You have options in working through grief. You have options in getting the closure. There are so many different ways that we can process our grief and get through the closure. And just know that all of those techniques, all of those tools, all of those methods are there for you to choose from. So just know that they're all available to you. As always, I'm going to leave you with a quote today, and it is an anonymous quote. This quote goes like this: death is not the opposite of life, but a part of it. It's not the opposite of life, it's a part of it. Just like in The Lion King, where they say, you know, the circle of life. The circle of life includes death. So just remember that, folks. Thanks so much for being with me today. I look forward to seeing you next week.
This has been an episode of Lost and Starting Over, a weekly show on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Remember that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone. We're here to help. Come back next week for another episode of Lost and Starting Over with Linda Ballesteros. Thank you for listening.